partners. We've put in several subdivisions around Sutton County and Slacker County. And we literally, and they, that's why the developers that do the roads for us probably don't call me good names. I said, we're going to go around this tree and around that tree.
Yeah.
Now, a mesquite tree, I have no love for.
Yeah.
But a beautiful oak.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get down a beautiful
oak.
Well,
if you drive down to some, occasionally I'm in Austin or San Antonio on business or pleasure or whatever, and I'll notice, because that's what I'm looking at when I'm driving around these trees. That's my thing, or grass or landscaping. It interests me. And I'll notice that these construction sites, there are native, anywhere those places down there in the Hill Country or San Antonio, there are beautiful native live oaks there. Huge, been there for 100 years. And these construction crews, they're probably under orders from the city. I don't know who decides, but they will cordon off that area and they will work around those trees. They will not go in and bulldoze those trees. They're probably told that they can't. There's probably a fine for doing it.
Well, I'll tell you this. We're putting in a brand new subdivision. In fact, we talked a little bit about it, just this side of Cristoval. And the whole reason we're putting it there is because of the oak trees.
Yeah.
They're so beautiful.
Yeah.
And they're kind of on the hill. The topography is amazing.
Yeah.
It's like you're not in West Texas.
Yeah.
But it's the oak trees. They're just amazing.
Yeah, and they bring in the deer, love the acorns, and so oak trees are fantastic, and they're native here. They're happy to be here. They're not, you don't have to worry that you're trying to bring something here that doesn't belong here. I saw the other day your neighbor actually planted magnolias in his yard, and we see magnolias around here. Magnolias are famous for being in the southeast, Augusta National, Augusta, the golf course, Magnolia Lane. But I've seen magnolias here, but they really aren't. They're not made for here, and you're kind of forcing the issue when you bring something here. Speaking of Augusta, azaleas is another one. Azaleas are the flowers that you see at on TV at the golf tournament that you just blow your picture up with color. They're so beautiful, and I've seen azaleas for sale here at Lowe's and Home Depot and stuff. They bring them in the spring. Azaleas will not grow here. They just don't like our soil, and people will buy them and they'll plant them and they'll die and they'll go, I don't get it. Well, how could they be so beautiful in Georgia? They don't like our soil. There's your answer. You can't fit a square peg in a round hole. Right. Don't bring something here that won't live here, because we're not bringing salt cedar to Atlanta, Georgia, and trying to plant it there. It's happy to be here. It doesn't want to be there, and it's not, or cactus, it's not native to that area, and those things are not native to our area, and they don't want to be here.
What would you plant right now? What would be some things that would be good to plant right now?
I am doing some planting this weekend. I like the Esperanza. It's called Yellow Bells. There's a plant out there. I saw some at Lowe's that were beautiful. They were called Plumbago. They have beautiful blue flowers on them. I've got some annuals we need to plant. I saw some pentas the other day at the store that were very, very beautiful. They're only good for about 6 months, but they're real drought tolerant and they're gorgeous. On the pentas, if you live near the golf course or where the deer are, you might rethink that, because
that was my next question.
Yeah,
is and right now, folks, in a lot of subdivisions in San Angelo, north side of town, southwest side, doesn't matter. We have deer.
Yeah,
and they love. They literally will come pull the plant out of the ground and eat the roots, I guess.
Yeah.
But so you got to be careful there too.
Well, go ahead and tell them a story about the sticker on your plant that said deer resistant.
Yeah, Don called. He planted a bunch of plants for me, and he said, Scott, I'm going to tell you right now, I read up on them. I promise you, these deers do not like these plants. So the next morning I get up, I look out there, and almost all of them are pulled. It looked like somebody literally pulled them out of the ground.
Right.
And just I thought, what the heck? So I called Don. I said, Don, you said that? He said, well, apparently the deer at Bentwood can't read because they ate the heck out of them.
Yeah.
So you never know.
You never know.
Eat anything.
If you read it, you can read it you can Google these deer. Or you can, when you buy a flower in a pot, it's the little tag on it will tell you if it's deer resistant.
Yeah.
But they use the word resistant, not deer proof. Remember, and any rancher or deer hunter will tell you. Of course, we got plenty of foliage and
but this is like ice cream for them.
Yeah, I know, but this is true. But when it's hot and dry, and the thing that happened was a couple of years ago, and there's nothing out there for them to eat. They'll eat something that's deer resistant. Well,
And what you said earlier on the acorns from the oak trees, which we're blessed with oak trees.
Yeah,
we have those. But remember this: a lot of the hunters go, "Man, I'm not getting in. No, there's no deer out here." Well, they're not coming to your feeders.
Yeah.
Because they're full.
Yeah.
Those acres are just like corn, man. They eat the heck out of those acres. They don't need to come to your feeders.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what's happening there.
Yeah. They love it. And they love, and with all the rain we've had, there's no telling. I mean, they ought to be some fat deer this year.
There, right? Yeah, with some good ones. We're going to run out of time for it. So I wanted you to talk about one of your new ventures, which I think is just cool, the Invisible Fence.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. The Invisible Fence is something I got involved in about 4 years ago or so, and I am a dealer installer for Invisible Fence for West Texas, including all geographical areas around here. And basically, in a nutshell, the Invisible Fence is a pet containment system that you can use to keep your pet, typically your dog, although it works on cats. We've even done a pig before, if you can believe that.
I can.
It keeps your pet in your yard, even if you don't have a fence, even in your front yard. What we do is we bury a wire. We have a machine that buries a wire, a cable in the ground around the perimeter of where you want the dog to be confined in or contained in. We hook that wire up to a transmitter. The transmitter sends a signal to the wire, so the wire has now got an electric signal through it. The dog wears a collar with a little receiver, a little computer receiver on the collar. When the dog gets too close to the boundary where the wire is, he or she gets a beep, 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 beep in the collar, which will warn him, hey, back up, you're getting too close. If they continue to advance towards the wire and they don't respect the tone, they don't back up, they get a light static electricity correction. It's not really a shock. It doesn't feel like electricity. It doesn't feel like sticking your finger in a socket. It feels like static electricity, like when you touch your car door in the wintertime and it pops you, that little pop, and makes you kind of jump.
Yeah.
But it's really, and part of what I do, I tell my customers when I install these things, half of what the thing is the trick is to install the thing, which is all my, it's all my effort and time. The other half is the training, which is because we got to teach the dog how it works,
yeah.
You know, which is a combination of me and the homeowner. Now I do the initial training and I train the dog initially and I show the homeowner what I'm doing and how it works. And then at some point they pick up the training and they work with the dog. This system works. It's tried and true. We have a proven training method. If the homeowner's having trouble with the dog, it happens from time to time. Hey, you know, Fido's not respecting the cable. He's getting too close. He got out yesterday. Then I'll go over there and I'll do refresher training.
We've done this for years and years with cattle.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take very few times for them to understand it.
Yes.
They're smart. A cow. Like a dog's probably smarter than a cow.
Yes.
And the cows can figure out real quick. I guarantee your dog can.
Exactly.
So, but it's a cool product. It's a lot cheaper, folks. A lot cheaper than putting in a traditional fence.
A lot cheaper than putting in a traditional fence. And remember, some people want to look out their backyard.
Yes.
They don't want to see a wood fence out there.
Because it totally blocks your view. You want a nice view on your golf course, or if you're out in the country even.
Right. And speaking of that, and I know we're short on time. We're almost done. Speaking of in the country, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, well, you know, I've got 15 acres. I'd like to have my dog confined to 15 acres. I don't want a fence out there. But I don't want them... I don't think anybody's going to come out here and bury a wire on 15 acres. We actually have a system that works off of GPS. So we can
We can
program the collar using GPS within about 3 feet of the boundary where the wire would go. There is no wire in the ground. The dog or cat, or it would be dogs in this case, the dogs are still kept on the property using GPS instead of an actual electric signal.
That is... Is it more expensive to do the GPS than is the
A wire? Little bit, but not much.
Well, if you're going to do 15 acres, it'd be a lot cheaper to do that.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't want to bury the wire on 15 acres. I've buried the wire on 5 acres before. It's a chore.
I imagine so.
Yeah.
Folks, that's some great information. Don, I appreciate your time. And tell them one more time, if they want anything to do in the yards, the fences, any of that, how do they get a hold of you?
They can Google me. If they can remember my name, I'll pop right up. They can call me at 325-234-5284.
Folks, we really appreciate you listening. You have a great week. We'll catch you next week.